fazer.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to study from Acts chapter 14 to start with this morning, Acts chapter 14. And I want to talk a little bit with you today about elders. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, Luke records for us that when Paul and Barnabas went out on their first missionary journey and established a number of different congregations by preaching the gospel of Christ, it says that they went back through these congregations which they had established. And in verse 23, it says, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So each local church had elders. You see, it says elders, plural, in every church. So that's the way, under the authority of Jesus Christ, that the apostles established churches through the gospel and then established the leadership of each congregation in this manner. They appointed elders in every church. And so that's the way we are to do it under the new covenant. Under the authority of Jesus Christ, each local church ideally is going to have elders, a plurality of men who serve as elders. And I say a plurality of men because you'll look over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul gives qualifications for elders. 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. The word overseer there is used elsewhere in the scriptures, and we'll look at that in a moment, to refer to the same office. An overseer is an elder. And so he says, if any man aspires to the office of overseer, it's a fine work he desires to do. And then he gives qualifications and he says, an overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife. And so we know that elders are men. Elders are not women, they're men. And that makes sense because we read elsewhere in the scriptures that the men were given the authority of God to teach the church, the congregation. In fact, Paul said, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man, but to learn in quietness. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. So we know that elders were men, and we know that they were married. And if you read down in the qualifications, we know that they had a household of children. It says he must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. So these are married men who have children, and they've shown themselves to be capable overseers of their own home and raise their children well so that they're faithful children. And so they've qualified themselves in that sense, at least in that sense, to serve as elders or overseers or shepherds. The words are used interchangeably. To look over the congregation. Now look over in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. This is the verse we had up on the board during the announcements, or right after the announcements. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. The term leaders there is used elsewhere in the scriptures as well to refer to elders or overseers. And so in this context, he's saying that these men are given to you to watch over your souls. They are overseers. So that's their primary function, is to watch over your souls. Now turn with me back one chapter to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, which we were studying in earlier this morning in our Bible study. And notice with me verse 15. In verse 15, he says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, and that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. It's interesting to note that the word "see to it" there, that phrase "see to it," at least in my translation, "see to it" is what the words are there, is actually just one word in the Greek, and that word is the same word that's used for overseer. It's a verbal form of the same word for overseer. So an overseer is somebody who sees over, right, sees over the group. But here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, the command is to everybody to see to it. The command is to everybody, every Christian, to look over your brethren and see to it, oversee, that no one comes short of the grace of God. So you see the emphasis anyway in the Scriptures that the idea of looking out for one another, of caring enough about each other's souls so that we're overseeing and making sure that we look out for people's souls. And that's what elders do. That's their primary function. Their primary function, unlike some people think, is not to necessarily administrate the business of a congregation, although they may be involved in that. And certainly they are the final say in such matters. Really, their primary function is to look out for souls. And so turn with me to Acts chapter 20, and you'll see that that was emphasized by Paul when he was talking with the Ephesian elders. Acts chapter 20, and the discourse starts in verse 17 when Paul calls from Miletus the Ephesian, he sends to Ephesus and calls the elders of the church at Ephesus to Miletus, where he's at, because he's going to go to Jerusalem from there, and he's not going to see these men ever again. He knows that. He's been told that by the Spirit of God. He's not going to see them again. So these men whom he spent 3 years with, that's how long he was in Ephesus, and he appointed these men as overseers, as shepherds, as elders of the congregation, he calls them to him and he has some final words for them. And at the end of that discourse with them, they weep with him. They fall on his neck and weep with him, because he tells them he's not going to see them any longer. So he has some very choice words for them. In verse 28, this is what I was referring to here in regard to the interchangeability of the terms. Notice in verse 28, he says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." So it says the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And by that, I understand that to mean that the Holy Spirit has provided the qualifications by the inspired word of God. And in that sense, has made you overseers. You meet those qualifications. You're the ones who the church has looked out from amongst themselves and said, you're the ones who meet these qualifications that the Holy Spirit has given. And so the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And so that term overseer is translated bishop in the King James Version. If you have a King James Version, you might see that term bishop. That's the word for overseer. So the Holy Spirit made them overseers. And who are these men? These are elders. Back in 17, you see verse 17, you see that he called the elders to him. So these elders are called overseers. And then in verse 28 again, he says to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That word shepherd there is the word for pastor. And so you might be familiar with that term. That's the term that's widely used in the religious world, the term pastor. And so who were the pastors of the church at Ephesus? It was all these men, all these elders, this big plural. I don't know how many there were, but there were certainly a number of men. He called them all to him. They were elders. They were overseers. And they were shepherds or pastors. And so when you think of a pastor, you think of somebody who takes care of the sheep, right? Watches out for the sheep and guards the sheep. A shepherd, a pastor. And so that all fits with the idea of shepherding or watching out for souls. That's the primary work of elders, is to watch out for souls. I see elders like almost kind of like the parents of a large family. You know, you see the relationship there mentioned in the qualifications. Elders must manage their own household well. You know, they must be able to raise up their children. They must be able to nurture them in the admonition of the Lord So these men have qualified themselves, in a sense, to oversee, shepherd, pastor a larger family. And so that's what God is looking for men to do. God wants men to grow into that maturity that would allow them then to shepherd, pastor, oversee the souls of a larger family like us. We need pastors in this congregation. We don't have any pastors. And people might say, well, Jerry, don't they call you pastor? Well, they may call me pastor because I'm a preacher, and so people confuse the terms a lot of times. They don't realize that there's a difference between a preacher and a pastor in the Bible. They don't realize that because it's just been common knowledge down through the years. At least that's what people have been taught, that, you know, the preacher is the pastor. And that's just rooted in denominationalism. It's not rooted in the Scriptures. Paul was never called a pastor. Now, he was an apostle, so you could say in that sense he was very special in that regard and served all of those functions. No doubt that's true. But he was never called a pastor. He was an evangelist. Philip was never called a pastor. He was Philip the evangelist. That's all I am, is an evangelist. I'm one who proclaims the Word of God. I could be 25 years old and was. Well, I was 28 when I first started preaching. 28 years old and an evangelist. That didn't mean I was an elder. Wasn't married at 28. Didn't have any children. Certainly wasn't mature enough to really serve that function. And so a preacher is not a pastor. I'm not a pastor. This congregation doesn't have any pastors. And we need them. Turn with me to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Why do we need them? Well, because it's God's order. That's what God wants. You see? And now, obviously, it's not that we're sinning in the sense that we don't have them. It's that we don't have men who have, and I'll show you in just a second what I mean by this, men who have desired the office and who are qualified. Those men haven't stepped forward yet, or we haven't discovered them in the congregation yet. We haven't become aware of at least two men who are willing and qualified to serve as elders. Look in Titus chapter 1 with me. Titus chapter 1. And Paul says that he left Titus in Crete, he said, that you would set in order what is lacking and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. I left you there, Titus, for the express purpose of putting in order what is lacking. There's churches in Crete, and they don't have elders. So I want you to set in order. I want you, through the preaching of the Word, through the dissemination of the inspired qualifications, I want you to emphasize the need for each congregation to have elders. Elders in every city. Every city had one congregation in those days, not multiple. So elders in every church, elders in every city, same concept. And he said, there's something lacking. When you don't have elders, there's something lacking. And you can understand that. Think about that in a family. What if you didn't have parents? What if you didn't have a father in a family? Something's lacking. And that what is lacking is the oversight. It's the leadership. So what we try to do here in this congregation is we try to fill that void with the men together, trying to do the best job we can to exercise oversight, to shepherd the flock of God among us. But we're not elders. None of the men here who gather together in our monthly men's meetings have met those qualifications, or I guess you could say have been appointed. None of us have been appointed by the church to shepherd or oversee the flock of God among us. So you could argue that this church is without oversight. Now, you'd be wrong if you argued that, because we're trying to do the best we can to do the job. So this church is not without oversight in that sense, but it's not the oversight that God desires. It's not the oversight that God desires. And so we need to be working as a congregation together to grow into having oversight. Qualified men who serve as elders, pastors, shepherds, bishops, overseers in this congregation. And that's what we've been doing. We've been talking about it. We've been praying about it. We've been studying about it. The men's class that we have every third Sunday of the month has been emphasizing these matters. We've been talking about the work of elders, the work of shepherds, pastors, the qualifications. And so that's what we've been trying to do. And so we're working on that. But there's something lacking here. Now, what we need to do as a congregation is join together and make it work. In the absence of elders, in the absence of overseers, we need to make it work, right? And so turn over with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And you'll see that you have a role in this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. He says, but we request of you, brethren, that you know those. That's the literal word there, know. Some versions have the word appreciate them, recognize them. That might be more closely the proper translation. That you recognize those, that you know them, that you recognize them, who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. Now, we've got a number of men here in the congregation who give us instruction. We don't have anybody in this congregation who is in charge. We are in charge. The men are in charge as the plurality of men. But in the absence of elders, in the absence of overseers, here's your job. He says in verse 12, to know those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. And he goes on and gives some other instruction there. Remember earlier in Hebrews 12, verse 15, we said that the command was to all of us to see to it or to oversee that no one comes short of the grace of God. So that command is to everybody. It's not just to the overseers, to the elders, to the pastors, to the shepherds. We don't have those in this congregation. So we as men are fulfilling that role, and we're trying to see to it, trying to oversee that no one comes short of the grace of God. So now fit this passage into that instruction and see, it says that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work and live in peace with one another. That's our job as a congregation, is to esteem very highly in love the men who are seeking to do that work of oversight of the congregation when in fact they're not elders. Esteem them highly in love for their work that they're doing, and be at peace with one another. So our job in the congregation is to make sure that we are seeing to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and that we are contributing to the positive growth, to the peace, to the love of this congregation. And we can do that. We can do that in the absence of elders. It's not inherently sinful not to have elders. It's not ideal. There's something lacking. But what would be sinful is if we appointed men to serve as elders who were not qualified or who did not desire the office. Agreed? That would be much worse. That would be sinful. That would be wrong. So we're trying to be very careful. We're trying to be very patient. We're trying to be very loving. And we're nurturing and we're building up and we're educating and we're training. And men are working toward the goal of being elders in this congregation. And hopefully at some point in the future, not the very far future, I hope, we'll be able to have pastors, overseers, bishops, elders in this congregation. So in the meantime, there's something lacking. Now, let's not complain about that. That's what it is. That's the way it is. We can't complain about that. What we need to do instead is we need to work together to help everybody do their job to oversee, to see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. So as he says in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." That's addressed to all of us. Just like Hebrews 12 and verse 15 is addressed to all of us. Everybody see to it. Everybody oversee. Let's look out for one another. It's important. It's the job of elders. Ultimately, that's God's ideal, that elders bear that full responsibility of shepherding, looking out for souls. But in the absence of them, we certainly need to do our part. We need to do our job according to the Scriptures and look out for one another and care for one another. So that's our challenge. That's what we're faced with here. And we can work through that and we can continue to grow as a congregation. I don't think we have failed to grow as a congregation. I think we've been growing spiritually. I think we've been growing numerically. That's the Lord's job, not ours. But we've been blessed to grow numerically. We've been blessed to grow spiritually, I believe. And that's because we're doing what we need to be doing as individuals, looking out for one another, building up one another. So many Bible studies going on. There's so many people calling people up on the phone. There's people who are checking on people, looking out for people's souls. And that's what we should be doing regardless. Whether we have elders or not, we should be doing. Now, that brings me to something I thought about previously that this might be a good time to mention. I have seen congregations that appointed elders that didn't have elders. And in fact, I've been responsible for bringing congregations to an eldership that didn't have elders. And then I've watched, after congregations appointed elders, that all of a sudden people just expected the elders to do everything. And they stopped doing all the things they needed to be doing. And we're doing previously because, oh, now we've got elders. Now we've got pastors. It's their job. And that's what I've been trying to emphasize here in the Scriptures. It's not just their job. Yes, they bear accountability to God for their role and their function as elders, but it's not just their job. And in fact, they need all the help they can get. You see 1 Thessalonians 5? Know them, recognize them, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and live at peace with one another, and look out for one another, and all of us help one another, encourage one another, admonish one another, be patient with one another. See, we got a job to do for one another, regardless of whether we have elders or not. So let's keep doing that good work. Let's keep building one another up. Let's keep working together. And the Lord will perhaps bless us with qualified elders, pastors, shepherds, overseers, bishops. I always say it that way because the world's got that all messed up. As I said earlier, they think preachers are pastors, and they're just not. Not according to the Bible. So I appreciate your good attention this morning. I just wanted to talk about that with you. And I will say one final thing. We had some visitors last week that came, and their question was, "Do you have elders here?" And we said, "No," but I said, "No, but we're working on it." And one of our brethren overheard a little bit later that one of those people saying, "I'm not sure that I can be in a congregation ever again that doesn't have elders. They've gone through some experiences, some bad situations, perhaps in churches that didn't have elders. And so their mindset is, look, if I'm going to be a member of a congregation, I want it to have oversight. I want it to be shepherded." And I can understand that point of view. I don't necessarily agree with that. And I would encourage them to think differently about that. But I can understand it. And so there is something lacking here. And that was apparent last week when that observation was made. So let's be praying about this. Let's be studying about this. Let's continue to build one another up toward that goal of having qualified men serve as elders in this congregation. Appreciate your good attention this morning. If you're here this morning and not yet a child of God, we haven't talked about that this morning in the lesson at all, but we always make time at the end of our service to allow anyone, to give people opportunity, not allow, but give people an opportunity to obey the gospel because their hearts have been touched by the word. They know what they need to do in order to be saved from their sins, and they know they haven't done it yet.
And there isn't anything more important than that. To be right with God, you have to be forgiven of your sins. And to be forgiven of your sins, you have to obey the gospel of Christ. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, repent of your sins, be willing to confess Him as your Lord, and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. That's obedience to the gospel of Christ. So if there's anyone here who wants to do that this morning, I invite you to come as we stand. Lord,